Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." These words recorded in the Gospel of St. John are most likely the most famous words in the Bible. And rather than quote the words, many Christians just use shorthand. Chapter and verse, John 3:16. You know what I mean. Some call these words the gospel in a nutshell. So what is the gospel? Well, it is the saving word of God. The gospel is the good news of forgiveness of sins, peace, life, joy, all because of the sacrificial death and resurrection of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Now in our text, when Jesus says, "Whoever believes," what does it mean to believe? Well, in the original language, this word translated as believe can also be translated as be convinced of, having confidence in what is written or spoken, and a primarily religious commitment with God or Christ being the object of faith. So, within the John 3:16 gospel in a nutshell, we see four different things identified. First, it identifies God the Father as the source of the gospel. God demonstrates his great love for you and all mankind by giving his only Son over into a violent death on Calvary's cross for your salvation. Secondly, it identifies the beneficiaries of the gospel as everyone who believes. Thirdly, identifies the means by which you apprehend this beneficiary, by which you become a beneficiary, and that is by your response to God's love, by having faith in Jesus. And fourthly, it identifies God's response to mankind. All who believe in Jesus will live eternally. All who do not believe will perish. Now, in Webster's dictionary, Webster defines faith as a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. But in the book of Hebrews, the writer puts it this way: now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So Christian believing or Christian faith is created and given by God, and there is an object for you to grasp hold of and to cling to. It's not a blind faith in something nebulous and not determinable. It is not faith in yourself or having faith in something. St. Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. For in the righteousness of God, it is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." So we hear the gospel. Hearing is passive. If you're in a place where something is being proclaimed or spoken, there's nothing you can do but hear it. Well, of course, you can leave, you can plug your ears, but it's completely passive. It's proclaimed, your ears received, and your brain registers. Through the Word of God, through the Word of the Gospel, faith is produced by the Holy Spirit. And the object of faith is that Word of God, that proclaimed gospel. For in the Word of the Gospel, your faith apprehends and clings to the promise of forgiveness of sins gained by Christ. Faith is passively receiving the gift of God's salvation. And the direction is always from God down to you and all who believe. And we see this in our gospel, or in our Old Testament text this morning. The Israelites are grumbling against God and Moses. God has just given them victory over the Canaanites. And as they go on their way from Mount Hor, the people become impatient. They become grouchy. Their faith in God is waning. And the object of their faith is back in Egypt in bondage, clinging to their old life. It wasn't as if they didn't have any food. It's that they didn't like the food that the God had provided. They thought they deserved better. They'd become entitled, privileged, and ungrateful. And like any parent whose patience has worn thin, God had finally had enough. In his righteous judgment and in a call to people to repent, he sent fiery serpents among the people. In demonstrating the wages of sin, those who were bit by the snakes, the serpents, died. Many who were bit died. And this drove the survivors to repentance. They came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." One thing is sure, God, our loving and gracious God, never abandons his children. But as usual, he doesn't always act the way we think he ought to. Why didn't he just simply remove the serpents? Why didn't he send a great wind to drive them off into another territory, or any other miraculous sign? He could have just gotten rid of them all, but he didn't. Instead, he provided a savior. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. All who looked upon the bronze serpent with faith in the promise of God were saved by the poison of the fiery serpents. But how can that be? There's no power in a bronze serpent. A serpent means poison and death. But Moses' serpent had the word of God attached to it. It had the promise of God. So think back to your days in confirmation when your pastor asked you, "How can a bronze serpent do such great things?" Well, he never asked you that question. But in baptism, he did ask you, "How can water do such great things?" The answer, certainly not just water, but the word of God in with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this word of God in the water. So the power of the word and promise of God, by the power and promise of the word of God, all who looked upon that serpent in faith were saved. Having faith in God's promise, they lived. All who looked elsewhere died. Now some people say, "Well, this is works righteousness. The Israelites cooperated. They had to physically turn and look up at that serpent. That means they cooperated in the act." But that is not the case. Every bit of the salvation comes 100% from God. It is God's deliverance because it was God's word of promise. Looking to the bronze serpent didn't add anything to their salvation. Looking was merely a faithful response of a believer, a response to God's word, because it would be truly impossible not to look if you believed. If you believed and had faith in that bronze serpent, of course you would look. But people look away every day. They say that they believe that salvation comes through Jesus alone, They say they have faith in Jesus, but where do they look for the object of their faith? Well, they look and grasp hold of the pleasures of the flesh and the world. The treasures of the world are more thrilling to them than grasping hold of the word of the cross, the word of God, and all the gifts Christ won for them on Calvary's cross. So I ask you, where is it that you look to? What is it that you cling to as the object of your faith? Is it science or perhaps the government? Maybe it is your money and your own reason and strength. Well, the good news is, while you were still a sinner, God looked upon you and saw that you were snake bit and poisoned by that old serpent, the devil. He saw you were dead in your trespasses and your sins. He saw you living as a child of wrath, living in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind. Our God saw that you needed an antidote to save you from the poison of your sin. In our epistle text, St. Paul writes, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved you, even when you were dead in your trespasses, made you alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." When Jesus humbled himself by leaving the glory of heaven and taking on the flesh of man, he knew exactly what he was getting into. In our gospel text, he tells Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now, occasionally in Bible study, we talk about types and shadows, or typology. Typology is when a person or event in the Old Testament prefigures or foreshadows something or a person or event in the New Testament. So it's really neat how this morning in our Old Testament and New Testament texts, we put them together and they are perfect typology. Consider these comparisons. In the Old Testament, we have Moses' bronze serpent hanging on a pole. It has every appearance as a poisonous snake. In the New Testament, we have Jesus' body hanging on the cross, having the very appearance of a body poisoned with sin. But contrary to appearances in the Old Testament, the bronze serpent had no poison. It was completely harmless. And Christ hanging on the cross, well, he had the appearance of a sinful man, but he was harmless, the spotless Lamb of God who carried all of your sins to the cross. In our Old Testament text, all those who were snake bit looked to the bronze serpent in faith. They believed in God's word and they were saved. In the New Testament, all who are poisoned from every form of deadly sin and transgression can look to Jesus in faith, and they too will be saved. You have Jesus' promise in his word that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You have Jesus' promise that whoever believes in him is not condemned. So all scripture, Old Testament and New, points to Jesus and his work of salvation on your behalf. God does all the work. You and I merely receive by grace. Now, earlier I said that faith is a gift given you by the grace of God. Well, the biblical definition of grace is God's unmerited favor toward you. We also describe it as God's riches given you at Christ's expense, his expense of his body and blood on the cross. Excuse me. Grace is a gift that you do not deserve, but God gives it to you anyway because of Christ's work on your behalf. Even when you were dead in your trespasses, God looked ahead, and by grace, you were made alive together with Christ by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. In our epistle text, Paul tells us that by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Fellow believers, right here in the divine service is where our Lord God pours out all of his grace upon you in word and sacrament. By the grace of God, you have been saved by faith alone. But as we often say, faith is never alone. Scripture teaches us that good works and deeds flow from Christian faith. The Holy Spirit given you in baptism enables you to delight in the law of God and to live a more godly life. Yes, the sinful nature continues. You cannot do it perfectly, but the Holy Spirit enables you to do better. You were renewed and regenerated in baptism, and God gave you a new and regenerated heart that gives you the power to love your neighbor, honor your spouse, treat others with honesty and integrity, performing good works and deeds that flow from your faith of the one who loved you first. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, God gave his only son to be lifted up on Calvary's cross, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And even though Jesus died on the cross and he was buried, he rose from the dead on the third day, and today he lives and reigns to all eternity. He lives and reigns for you. So when you are stuck in despair, in misery, cling to Christ crucified in faith. In your sicknesses and in your illnesses, look to Jesus and grasp hold in faith, believing that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He is your Savior. He is the cure to all your poison. When everything in all times, whether things are going great or whether things are looking bleak and the world seems to be coming to the end, look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So a 20-minute sermon, that's a lot to remember. So let's put it in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.